Good evening. This is going to be my last podcast. Chapter 11, The Freedom to Choose Your Path. The listener is requested to continue reading the book after this podcast so that you can complete the journey of listening to people's stories, reading people's stories of how they have overcome their own thought processes, their own doubts, and their own trauma or whatever experiences were troubling them. Page 80. Our body, mind, and intellect are governed by three inherent properties of nature called gunas in Sanskrit. These gunas could be considered the three aspects of the state of nature of the universal consciousness. That is sattva, which is a state of being in contentment and unselfish activities. Rajas, which is a state of being in purposeful activity. And tamas, which is a state of indolence. These three states are well described in the first book, and I encourage you to read it well before you proceed further. If we were to do an act with heightened awareness, then we are in the state of sattva. The Bhagavad Gita mentions that staying in the sattva guna makes us capable individuals and we make fewer mistakes. However, because of the inherent nature of our mind, which is pulled by our ongoing selfish desires and attachments, we get sucked into rajasic and tamasic states. In these states, we become selfish and lazy. Our egos are heightened. We are then away from the truth of universal consciousness. This supreme consciousness is the same in all. This is the truth. This is the only knowledge. Staying in this truth should be our only aim in life. Consciousness itself has an inherent power of hiding the truth because of its veiling power, which is yielded by the divine itself. The grace of the divine itself allows this veiling power to reduce slowly and get into higher states of awareness. With continued and daily spiritual efforts from the seeker, we make progress on the path. The divine continues to relent and the veiling power diminishes and disappears. We then see more and more layers of this reality within ourselves as well as in nature. Certain spiritual prowess, such as intuition, premonition, healing abilities, and other skills come without any effort. The seeker becomes more and more established in the truth or knowledge. Such a person finds happiness in just being alive and does not get swayed by external changes. Equanimity dawns. We all have the capacity to know this truth right now. This ignorance of ours, as per Vedantic texts, can be removed by the following four paths. Interestingly, once we start to follow one path, the others come to us as well. First, knowledge path. On this path, the seeker wishing to know the truth stays on the path, knowing of the assurance of the help of a learned and enlightened teacher, and further benefits in the written format as in the knowledge shared in the scriptures. They read, reflect, and implement the knowledge. They keep doing this until their mind becomes pure, and the knowledge transforms to wisdom of the individual consciousness, not being different from the supreme consciousness. When one finds oneself while on the path, weak of mind, the scriptures confirm that they will be provided the right knowledge just because they wish to have this highest knowledge. It is assured. On this path, the seeker is expected to think repeatedly, who am I? What is my relationship with nature? Why was I born? What is the nature of death? Who is the Creator? And what is my relationship with the Creator? The scriptures assure that courage, valor, and fortitude is given to the seeker so that they become established in the truth. And finally, the veiling power of consciousness relents to allow the individual consciousness of the seeker to become one with the universal consciousness. Second, action path. The next possibility is called seva, or the path of action. This path is available to us every day. We all act and we all do things for others. But most of us have tainted actions because of our own selfish desire and attachments to things that we want. We remain in a state of ignorance, completing one desire after the other, forgetting the source of this whole creation and ours with it. The concept of seva means giving our time, resources, and our money to somebody who does not have the same without expecting any recognition for it. I, for example, go and work for a research project to find the influence on the mental health of people with a known diagnosis of depression when they practice breathing techniques regularly. This is a noble and useful project that I know society will benefit from. However, if I have an inherent, latent, or even a subtle desire to share the results of my findings with the world by getting it published in a world-acclaimed scientific journal, as well present it at an international conference, and if in the process I should get recognition for my work, then I am standing at the precipice of selfish desire. The action path means doing all our activities just for the sake of doing the activity, only because it is important for others, yet not expecting anything in return. The activity itself is the reward. We have learned that the peace associated with a purposeful and concentrated mind while doing the activity is priceless. This is how nature also works. We notice that a tree stands unfazed through the vagaries of weather. It just stands. It does not differentiate the effects of weather on it. Its job is to give birth to its progeny by giving blossom to flowers and seeds. In addition, its leaves provide shade and oxygen without any prejudice or discrimination as to who is receiving them. It does this good for every animal present in this world. It does not differentiate. The tree in my backyard releases oxygen equally for me, my family, and my pets. The tree does this tirelessly till it dies. That's its nature. We keep forgetting our own true nature. We have been given this body, mind, and intellect to serve others who are less fortunate than us through the resources and skills that we have been given as a gift. What the seers mentioned and is written in these Vedantic texts is that if, as a seeker, I choose to have a feeling or innermost wish that whatever I'm doing, I'm offering that act of doing as well as the results of my action, both as an offering to the divine. If we have such an attitude, then our egos become subtler, our minds purer, our desire-driven thoughts reduced, and finally, we have less of selfishly driven actions. On such a path, the seeker finds fulfillment, contentment, and happiness, knowing that the ego is being slowly reduced. This path is likely the easiest for those who are most involved in earning a living. Third path, devotion path. The concept of devotion has become so elusive in the modern world that not many people have the inclination to be devoted to something higher than them. We have become so selfish, we don't even acknowledge that there's something higher than us. Yet, this path is the quickest way to find our true nature. This has been said repeatedly in the scriptures. For me, personally, devotion has led to dramatic increase in my mental endurance, feelings of oneness, faith in the divine, and profound intuition. Lastly, Raja Yoga, the fourth part, the path of the royals. Have we noticed our own breath? We take our breath for granted, don't we? But ask anyone suffering from anxiety or panic disorder, they know the preciousness of our breath. Each breath brings in not only oxygen, but also a lot of energy, which cannot be understood scientifically just yet. But in ancient texts, it is described as prana. This prana is the subtler aspect of our own gross breath. Through pranayama, one learns to regulate the gross breath and the prana, allowing one over a duration of time to return to a state of pure bliss. The sages over the centuries found out through their own meditative practices there are various types of pranayama, which when accompanied with various hand postures called mudras, allows one to open up a number of internal subtle energy channels in the body. Most people have now read about chakras, which are the epicenter of these energy channels. It is described that once one starts progressing on the spiritual path using Raja Yoga, all the chakras and the energy channels start opening up. Finally, a stage comes where there is communion between the universal energy, which is all around us, and the internal personal energy of the practitioner. This stage, this state, is close to the attainment of enlightenment. As per my understanding, some of the large Vedic science-based organizations that currently teach Raja Yoga are the Art of Living Foundation, the Divine Life Society, and the Isha Foundation. Look them up. And we conclude. I will not be summarizing our group discussion today. I invite the seeker, the listener, to go deep inside themselves and stay on their path to self-discovery and enlightenment.